Welcome to the Sports Spectrum Podcast, where faith and sports collide. Here's your host, Jason Romano.
Welcome, everyone. This is episode number 90 of the Sports Spectrum Podcast. My name is Jason Romano. It's so great to have you joining us here on the program today. Of course, you can subscribe and download this podcast everywhere podcasts are found, including Google Play, Stitcher, and Apple iTunes podcasts. You can download the podcast on our YouTube channel as well. Just go to Sports Spectrum and every single podcast is there. And you can also find every single piece of content we produce over at sportspectrum.com, where you can become a member for just $36 for 1 year. It takes care of your yearly membership, and it gives you a quarterly magazine that we produce. The next one is coming out very soon, as well as funding this podcast and all of the content that Sports Spectrum produces, including Football Sunday, including The Increase, including One Coach, including lots of really cool content ideas we have for 2018. So we just appreciate you and love that you could become a member with us and partner with all we're doing here at Sports Spectrum. Today's guest, this is a unique podcast, one similar to the one we did a few weeks ago with the different Philadelphia Eagles players. This one features a conversation with rapper Andy Mineo and Eagles tight end, free agent now, tight end, Trey Burton. Trey Burton, of course, from the Philly special Super Bowl play that will put him among the legends in Philadelphia sports history and helping the Eagles win their first ever Super Bowl championship. And this conversation came about with me talking to Andy. I had met Andy Mineo at ESPN a few years ago, got to walk him around and give him a tour of ESPN. And I knew I wanted to have Andy on the podcast. And when I saw that he was at a conference that I was attending as well recently, I went up to Andy and I just said, "Hey, man, can you come on the podcast?" He said, "Yes, of course." And this conference also had a bunch of NFL players there. And I asked Andy if he was close to any of the players. He said, "Yeah, I know Trey pretty well, Trey Burton, and maybe Trey would come on the podcast with me." So I said, "Yeah." So I asked Trey. Trey said, "Yes." And this is how we kind of had this podcast put together. And I like it when we have two sort of different people coming together and just talking about, you know, different issues. We had this in episode number 2 when we had Matt Hasselbeck, the former NFL quarterback, now ESPN analyst, talking to Matt Chandler, who was the pastor out of Dallas, Texas. And then we had it with Francis Chan, the pastor, of course, out in California, and St. Louis Cardinals pitcher Adam Wainwright. And I just like when we kind of bring two people from two different scopes and just start talking and having conversations, real conversations. And this podcast got pretty deep. Now, it starts with Philly special, of course, and we talk about the Super Bowl and have some fun there. But then we get into some deep topics about temptation, about faith. You know, Andy actually had a very deep, dark time in his life recently, and it challenged him in his faith. So he goes there and talks about that. And Trey talks about free agency, what that looks like, being able to kind of be out there as a free agent after winning the Super Bowl and, you know, kind of being shopped around and what teams he gets to choose where he goes, which he's never really been able to do in his career, in his pro football career, and to kind of feel wanted, which he was not able to do when he came into the NFL because he was an undrafted free agent. So I really think you guys will like this conversation a lot. It starts with Andy Mineo kind of wanting to get right into Philly special and the Super Bowl. So Andy, the first thing you'll hear is Andy asking a question to Trey Burton about Philly special and just the kind of nerves that were inside of him, being excited about it. So without further ado, let's get right to it. Here he is, rapper Andy Mineo and Eagles tight end, Super Bowl champion, now free agent, Trey Burton. Take a listen.
So that play has to be like the moment. Yeah. Like that your tight end is throwing a pass. Are you crapping your pants or are you just so in the zone that you're like, "What? I do this. Like I'm ready. This is regular."
Yeah, I would say I was really in the zone. You know, I'm the type of guy, like, I want to make a play, you know, I want to like impact the game in a positive way, obviously. Right. Everybody does. Just when the time came, I just remember, like I said, looking up and boom, break the huddle. I catch the ball, and only person I saw was Foles. Like, I don't know if there was anybody in front of me or not. Like, I don't even really know how open he was. Like, he was just the only guy I saw.
Was there supposed to be other guys to go out for passes?
No. Well, there was another guy coming from the other side of the ball. But he was way back. It was they told me my number one option was to run it, but there was 0% chance I was ever gonna run it. He was so wide open. I just had to.
He was
a layup.
It was a layup, my brother.
Miss.
Yo, you could have punted it. Yeah. He would have caught that.
Is Philly special designed for like a run pass option?
No, I mean they told me like after the couple times we ran it in practice, they didn't really necessarily like the velocity I had on the ball. They said I threw it too hard, and so they tried to tell me, you know, leading up to the game, like, hey, if it's there to run it, you can go ahead and you know run it.
Right.
And but no, I was always going to throw it every time.
Always going to throw it. We're talking to Andy Mineo and Trey Burton here on the Sports Spectrum Podcast. Andy, where were you that day? You're just watching the game from your house, just chilling with your buddies?
Yeah, I'm organizing a last-minute social gathering. I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to be to watch the game.
Right.
You know, I know Acho's down there. I know Trey's down there. A couple other guys that had just FaceTimed me, like, the week before. And
what were you doing? What were you doing when we
this guy FaceTimes me. So my wife wanted to go on vacation. And so we go on vacation. Well, the weird part is she works on her feet all day. You know, she's doing hair and stuff. And I'm sitting down in a recording studio, and I'm like, I don't want to go on vacation. But she's like, am I going to go on vacation? You don't join me? Never do that.
No.
Not,
that's good. That's good.
So
advice.
I go on this vacation, and I'm forced to shut it down, which is a good thing. We need to. But she needed the vacation more than I did. So I'm like,
you're doing a lot of talking, bro, to make up for what you were doing. I called you. But you still got to answer the question.
The point was, I get FaceTime and I'm sitting in a hot tub, and from Iacho, and I look up, and these dudes are sitting around having steaks. Like, what are you doing? And the worst part is, they said, "When's your next album coming out?" I'm like, "Trust me, I've been working hard."
Yeah,
I'm sitting in the, you know, the sauna, like looking like a schmo, like I'm doing nothing with my life.
I thought he retired because he hasn't had anything in a while, you know what I'm saying? So
Magic and Bird.
August, yeah. You know?
I mean,
4 months. You might as well be dead.
Might as well be dead.
Trey, I know you had some questions for Andy.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess you kind of answered them already. You know, you played sports. But if you could play one sport right now, what would it be? Basketball?
It would be basketball.
Yeah? You're a big basketball fan over everything else?
Yeah, I was better at football, but I love basketball. Like, if you ask me, what do I want to do on my vacation?
Yeah.
I want to play basketball every day. Like, yeah. I want to run fulls.
It's fun. I can relate, bro, because basketball is my favorite sport.
Is it? Yeah.
For sure, by far. Just because, like, it's, you don't have to really depend too much on the team like you do on football. And
you also don't got to get plowed by 500-pound dudes who, you know,
just give me a ball and some
eat 7,000 calories a day. If I don't have to get hit by that, that's...
Well, I remember in your one of your songs, you talking about how many pairs of sneakers you have.
Mm-hmm.
How many? What do you rock? Are you a Jordan guy, Adidas, Nike?
I'm not loyal to anyone. I go where the heat is.
Yeah.
And I like all kinds of stuff. Sometimes I like the little $20 Velcro situation if it's fire, you know. And then sometimes I'm like, dang, I need. I want these $1,500 joints, you know.
Remember the Stephon Marbury sneakers that were like $20 bucks?
Yeah. The Starberries.
Which ones had the spinners on them? You remember those?
Those were the Spreewells.
Yeah, Spreewells, yeah.
Spreewell with Dada.
Oh,
so, you know, I like what I like, and I try not to follow the hype. But you know what happens? I got married, and my wife saw the obnoxious collection of sneakers.
Yeah.
And so I went to IKEA, and they got those little boxes.
Mm.
It's like a bunch of little square boxes, and I figured out I could put two pairs of sneakers in each box.
Yeah.
And so I bought like a 16 box and another 8x8 box to put on top of it. It's all loaded with sneakers. So she's like, "So this is a problem." And
we got to talk about this.
Yeah, this is a problem. I remember I went to Vegas one time. I was on tour, and we routed through there, and like one of the Nike spots is there, and we knew someone who worked there, so he was getting like 50% off on top of 30% off, and I came home with 13 pairs of sneakers. Like, who does that? What's wrong with you? That was me being single. So now I'm married. She was just like, "This is a problem. You need to stop." And so we went down to me only buying, we made an agreement, I only buy two pairs of shoes a year. That's it. Year. And what it's done for me is it's really made me think about what I want to get. You know what I'm saying? You don't like pull the trigger so quick on everything. Because sometimes you pull the trigger on something, you know, just because you got
it. Remorse.
And then, and then you get home and you're like, why do I have like purple Uptowns? When am I ever going to wear these? And they sit in your closet for 3 years and then you give them away.
That's awesome.
But it's made me a lot more cautious about how I buy. And I get rid of stuff now. I just give it away.
Yeah.
And so I got kids in my neighborhood that I give stuff to, and it's cool to see those sneakers live on. I also have, like, you know, I got a bunch of followers on Instagram, so people want to send me stuff lot of times.
That's cool.
So I'll get sneakers sometimes, and they just want me to have them, you know, and that's cool because if I, you know, I get them and I enjoy them, and then if they're not really my thing, I still get to bless people with them or clothing brands or whoever, you know.
That's pretty cool. We're talking to Andy Mineo and Trey Burton, Super Bowl champ Trey Burton, here on the Sports Spectrum podcast. Can we go a little faith element now, go a little deeper a little bit? Let's talk. This season for the Eagles was incredible, and hoping to have another podcast here while we're at this conference to talk about that specifically with a bunch of Eagles players. But Trey, for you, you and I had a conversation on this podcast back in November about some of the things that were happening in the locker room, but we haven't talked since then. So take us to all the things that happened since. Really, Carson went down, all these things happened, Nick comes in, but spiritually, what was still happening in that locker room and how you guys were able to stay together from that side of things, from a faith perspective, how that happened.
Yeah, it's been tough because, like you're mentioning, like a bunch of the guys who have been hurt were leaders in the locker room, guys who were, you know, go-getters and guys who were recruiting people and having the tough conversations with guys who weren't necessarily, you know, believers. And so, you know, everybody just had to, you know, turn it up on the field and off the field that much more. And so, you know, the group of guys that were still able to play obviously missed the dudes who were injured, and the guys who were injured weren't around as much as we would like them to be. But we still made a point, you know, to see them once a week to make sure that they still felt involved, make sure that they still felt like they were getting poured into. But then also, like, we knew we had a lot more work to do. So
were they able to still come to the team Bible studies that you talked about and things like that, the couples Bible studies?
Yeah, their time in the facility was different. You know, they were doing treatment in the morning. They don't got to do meetings. They don't got to do really anything else but treatment. So sometimes they'd go home and sometimes they'd stay. And but there's, you know, usually one or two Bible studies a week that they would, a lot of them would come to. And it was just great, you know, to have them around, you know, whenever they felt like they wanted to be around. And so, yeah, we just had to pick up the slack, you know, and everybody had to turn it up a little bit more.
What about Super Bowl week? What does that look like as compared to a normal week from the stuff that you guys do as the team, Bible studies and things? Did any of that take place Super Bowl week?
Disaster, bro. Like,
it was?
You know how it is, like media day.
Oh, I know.
Every day you're doing 45 minutes of media and the whole team's got to be there and you're in the room and just, you know, busting from the hotel to University of Minnesota. Minnesota that we were practicing, and but we still kept things consistent, you know, still kept trucking along, and our days, you know, we usually have Bible study, we still knock those out, and the night before, you know, we're still gathering and listening to music, and the morning before the game, you know, we still brought our pastor in to preach and listen to music, and because the most important part is, you know, is our spirit and our souls, and so as long as we're full there, we'll be able to rock and roll on Sunday.
Let me ask a question here.
Yeah.
I want to go scandalous for a second. So, you know, he's a pastor down in Atlanta. What is his name?
Louis?
No.
Andy Stanley?
No. Triple Black League? Dude who used to play football.
Oh, I
Crump.
Do.
All right.
Leonce Crump.
Leonce Crump.
Yes.
Used to play football, and now he's a pastor in Atlanta. And I've just heard stories from him that, like, rattled me.
Yeah.
Right? He's like, man, when I was trying to be a follower of Jesus, walk with the Lord, he's like, the hardest thing for professional athletes a lot of times is women.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I would go to the hotel and, like, there would be women waiting in the hotel just waiting to try to pick up a football player.
Yeah.
And, like, would say, if they didn't know who you were, they would just say your number. Say, hey, 56 or whatever, and just be waiting there because they want to get taken down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo. And they're, you know, they're probably baddies too, so you're like, you're working with a lot of, you're out of town, you're at
there.
This they're baddies, you know, their freaking temptation is right there.
Yeah.
You know, and I can only imagine that stuff being heightened at Super Bowls or you know, when that stuff happens. What is that like? In and I know you're a married man, you're a faithful dude, and you're married with kids and all that stuff, but one, do you see that still see that often? Two, does that ever make its way onto your radar, or do you guys just have different systems set up to just kind of mosey around it?
Mm-hmm.
And three, like, what, you know, what do you see? I just want to know. I'm curious.
Well, I could toss the same question back to you, you know, and I'm sure that you have the same temptations, you know. And one of the questions I was going to ask you is, you know, how do you do it when you travel so much and you're gone, you're away from home for so long, you know? And I don't know, like, how many weeks of the year it is, but I'm sure it's a ton, you know.
Oh yeah.
And you're away from your wife and away from your family, you know, and you're with your boys, but somehow you make it work. So somehow, like, you know, you can easily relate to this. Like, you still got to get in the Word. You know, you still got to cast down every bad thought, you know. Sure. And it's there, you know. It's if you want to act on it or not, you know. And that's why, like, you know, temptation isn't the sin. Acting on the temptation is the sin.
Right.
And so, but I'm just wondering if it's as aggressive as Leonce was telling me. Because like, yo, that's aggressive. Well, that's not like flee
for sure.
Temptation as, like, it's a thought. It's like right there.
It's as aggressive as you make it. Because if you're out in the spots, you know, where women are going to be, if I'm at the club, it's gonna be as aggressive as it gets. You know what I'm saying? But if I'm in the room with my homies, or if I'm staying at the hotel, or, you know, whatever it may look like, you know, it's not as aggressive. You know, but if I choose to go out to the bars, or if I choose, and which is, there's nothing wrong with doing those things, but you got to know that, you know, there's a possibility of someone trying you. You know, and you got to be on guard for
trying to test your gangster
for sure.
Sheesh.
For sure.
Trey, has there been a moment, not naming names, where you've seen guys on the team that you need to encourage that have kind of fallen into that temptation that Andy's talking about?
Yeah, guys always need encouragement, you know, and the number one thing guys don't want to do is talk about their problems. But when you're able to, you know, get in and have that relationship with somebody where they trust you, and you're not, you know, throwing their mail all in the yard and letting other people, you know, it's just that intimate time that you have with somebody. That's really when, for me personally, like, it's the most beneficial, and you're able to make the biggest impact. But then also, you know, there are the guys, and I'm, you know, one of the, back in the day, I was one of the biggest guys that would do this. You know, I have an accountability partner, and I don't want to go see him, you know, as much as I, you know, would want to, or he's calling me, and I'm you know, I'll call him back in half an hour. You know? So there are those guys too, but I can relate to that, because that was me, you know, and somebody who, you know, had one foot on one side of the line and one foot on the other side of the line, you know, and, you know, trying to perfectly balance the world and my faith. And so I can easily, and I think, you know, people can respect that, because I walked that for a long time. So I know how to, you know, maneuver. Like, one of my buddies, you know, we would talk about, I went down to the gutter to get him, whereas normal people wouldn't go down there, but I was in the gutter, you know, and I know the path down there, you know what I'm saying? I know where he was hanging out, I know all those types of things, so he can relate to me, you know, in a sense. Yep. And so, like, we joke about it all the time, like, man, I went to the gutter to get you, you know, we're out, and we're both good now. But, you know, I'm comfortable in doing those types of things, because I've been in it, and I lived it for a while.
Andy, what about you? What is it like in your world as a musician, as a, you know, playing all different types of venues and places?
Because you're going from hotel to hotel, like, you're going from different groups of people to different groups of people in different cities, and when one night you don't want to perform, but you got to, you know, because it's your job. So, like, how do you deal with those temptations, you know? And I know for me, like, if I'm left in the room for too long, it's not a good deal by myself, you know what I'm saying? So I need a roommate. I need somebody, you know, to be around, and somebody, because you can always say, oh, I'll call you when I'm struggling. But what are the chances you really do call, you know what I'm saying? Or you could really say, hey, text me, you know, at this time at night. But, you know, what about if it's an hour before that when I'm hurting, you know?
Yeah. So actually, right over there, that's my tour manager, Joe Angel. Hi, Joe Angel.
Hey.
What's the one thing that happens every time we get a hotel room?
The number one rule that we have is that we don't let people have their own room, especially Andy.
Y'all can have your own room if you want. Just me.
He has a specific rule that he will never have his own hotel room.
Perfect.
Right.
Every trip.
As an accountability deal,
right? Yeah, I just don't, you know, it's just you leave room for stuff, and it can creep up. And that's my thing. You know what I'm saying? He said nobody can have their own. People can have their own room. They want to pay for it. You know, I'm paying for all the rooms, too. So y'all got to bunk up.
True.
But, for me, like, sometimes we'll do an event and they'll be like, oh, we're going to cover hotels too. And we'll get there and they'll be like, hotel room for you, hotel room for you. And I'll be like, meh. I'm like, cool, yo, Ray, somebody else just come crash in the room with me. Just because you leave room for stuff, man, it's just easier. It's more helpful when you just put things in place.
Yeah.
And so I try to as much as I can. And if I let other people know, then that helps too. Another thing that I struggle with for a long time is porn. Mm. Like, especially when you're on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're on the road, you're away from your wife.
Lonely.
And then you're lonely. And then a lot of times you'll be alone. Or, like, in a tour bus, I'll get into my bunk.
Yeah.
And my phone is where my alarm clock and all that other stuff is. But at the same time, you're chilling in your bunk. And those temptations come. So, to this day, I have a lock on my phone. I have no idea what the passcode is. He does. where I basically have like inappropriate content blocked, you know? And so there's a passcode to get that out. And I had my tour manager put the passcode in. I don't know what the passcode is. Yeah. So even when I'm home, like if, one time I went to search, like I was looking for blank, you know, I'm a musician and I sell merchandise. Yeah. And so I'm looking for like blank t-shirts, like different cottons and different stuff. Yeah. And one of the names of the website was like adulttshirts.com or something like that. And it wouldn't even let me access that because they had the word adult. Yeah. And I was like, this is so dumb.
Yeah.
But it's a small price to pay just to to try to eliminate another form of temptation.
It's always encouraging, though, like hearing other what other people do, like the extremes. You know, there's multiple guys who I've talked to who do the same, like lock, or they do like a different app, you know, for the internet so that it filters out certain things. I mean, let's be real, like every man struggles with that.
Yes.
Yeah, you know what I mean? For sure.
That is a very real struggle.
And people want to, you know, hide it and act like, you know, they're too good for it. And but nah, bro, like I know there's it's ruined a lot of people's lives. It's ruined a lot of marriages. I know it impacts me, you know, specifically just for my struggle with it and my fight for the majority of my life with it. So
a couple more questions here. Andy Mineo, Trey Burton on the podcast. Andy, you've talked about a couple years back going into sort of a dark place, a dark time in your life. I don't know how deep it was as far as falling away from the Lord or whatever, but can you kind of talk about that a little bit and what that would look like and just what you learned maybe in that experience going through that?
Yeah, about 2016, 2017. So this is recent.
Okay.
Just going through a pretty rough time in my faith where I was fearful of losing a lot. Mm. I was actually thinking about it today. Anxiety is the product of fear and control. So you're afraid of something and you want to try to control it, and that's what ends up leading to that that angst. And when I really started thinking about what I've been afraid of, you know, I started going to counseling. I did some other things that have really helped me process what I've been going through. And it was fear of losing creativity, which would mean I would lose my artistry. Mm-hmm. And then in my artistry is a lot of where my identity is. For sure. You know, like if I'm not making art and making songs and doing this, then what am I?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where... That's a big thing for a lot of people. What you do is like who you are.
That is a very real issue.
That's
for
a real,
many, for, many men.
Yeah. Right, for so many people. I mean, everybody,
especially
men, women.
When they're exiting their, you know, they're, and I'm talking about football and, you know, sports. And like, sure. When you're exiting football, like, what do you do now?
What do I do now?
Gone, take it from me.
So even that, like, even Trey being like, when are you going to drop new music? What, did you retire, man? He don't know, but that gave me like a heart attack. I'm like, oh no, right?
Right?
But that's my own insecurity. That's not you. That's you cracking a joke. But that's the stuff that I was dealing with. That, on top of it, that's when the election was happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's when kind of my faith was really being shaken. I kind of am a product of like white evangelical preaching and teaching through like 2008 to like 2014. These are the main guys that I learned from, understood the Bible from, all that. And slowly and over time, I've just realized how limited that perspective can be. And what essentially started to happening was a bit of a unraveling. Like you pull it one string and then everything starts to unravel a little bit. Like, oh man, if some of these guys that I really looked up to in my faith were really, really off about certain things, how much else is off about what I understand about the Bible or about God or about me, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. America, like, and I keep on discovering more and more, and as I'm discovering, it's shaking my faith. You know, just to be like, oh man, I didn't realize how deeply in bed like the idea of being American and being Christian and being white are like all tied together.
Yeah.
And it's taken tons of relationships that I have with people who don't look like me, who don't think like me, and sitting and learning from them. You know, we got a group text going on with me and a bunch of the guys and Lecrae and everybody's in there, and we're just always talking through these issues and bringing stuff up. And I think what really shook up my faith pretty heavy is, and I don't know where everybody stands on their political spectrum and stuff, but the election of Donald Trump during 2016 primarily being fueled by the white conservative evangelical population really making a strong push to put him in office because he represented, quote unquote, a lot of their values. That thing just like rocked me. So I don't know what everybody thinks about Donald Trump or whatever, but my perspective on it was like, wait, how could someone in a lot of ways in my mind, who does not represent so much about Christianity, be so unabashedly backed by Christians. Mm-hmm. And it just, it was a real conflict for me. Like, I didn't understand how that could happen.
So who did you seek out, like, to talk this through? Was it your peers and, you know?
Yeah, well, what I realized buddies? Is a lot of my peers were going through the very same thing. Mm. And so everyone was kind of, like, in this, like, depression. Because at the same time, you also have to remember, like, how many black kids were getting murdered by cops. Yeah. And it was, like, on, it was, like, every week a new video was coming out. Yeah. And I wasn't seeing Christians who I looked up to all these years in other areas step up and speak up and help be a part of the solution. And that was destroying me. I was like, wait, so do y'all really even believe what you're talking about justice and about love and about being forgiveness? So then I'm like, wait, maybe this whole thing is bull. Mm. And that's really when I started, like, I came to this weird place where I had to go, I need to let go of everything I know about God. Mm. Mm.
Wow.
Because I don't know if any of what I've studied about him is true, if it's come from these people.
Yeah.
And that was the most terrifying thing for me, because I said, what if I let go of this? Will I let go of God forever? And that's when it felt like I let go and I had a trust fall moment where I was like, God, I'm going to let go and I'm going to start to relearn who you are. And in that, he met me in such a profound way, because I came back to a lot of the same things I had already believed, but I finally learned them myself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Instead of just taking what so-and-so, you know, 7-year-old white preacher from the South had to say, it was like, oh, wait, I'm going to study this and it's going to be mine.
Wow. So that was kind of your rock bottom.
That was, I mean, I don't know if it's rock bottom, but it was,
faith perspective.
It was definitely like a shaky place. And I'm still like, there's still remnants of that. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm still working through this. Like, last week I went and saw Latino History for Morons by John Leguizamo in Manhattan. He's got a Broadway play. Me and my wife went for date night. And I just learned, look, I'm a 29-year-old man. I just learned, and never learned this in my school, that there was 75 million Native Americans, and 71 million of them were murdered.
Wow.
By Spanish colonization, right? And I'm like, that's the biggest genocide in human history, and I never even knew about it until last week.
Yeah.
And the soil I'm living on right here, right now in America, belonged to them. Mm-hmm. I was like, how did I not learn about this in school?
Yeah.
So there's constantly these things happening, like, oh man, our history says a lot about who we are and where we are. Mm-hmm. You know, and Black Panther came out this week. There's just a lot going on. But it's really shaken up and made me have to reevaluate the way I think and process the world. And I'm still going through it right now. But it was a feeling of being lost, you know.
Trey, you ever been there in that moment where you've had to kind of challenge yourself and be like, what do I believe here? What is this faith?
It happens all the time. Yeah. Rewiring your brain in a way, like, you grow up, you know, you believe what your parents believe, you know, you believe what your mentor believes, whoever's bringing you to church, you know, and it really isn't until you have to experience Christ on your own and by yourself. I remember Carl said something like that today, like, something about, like, you don't believe.
Carl Lentz, of course.
Carl Lentz said something like, you don't truly believe in God until he's all you have. And so, like, that really hit home for me, you know, because I'm living off my mom's faith and I'm living off my grandparents' faith because they're the ones who's taking me to church, you know, and whatever they believe, I'm believing, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't know any better at the time. And it really wasn't until I got to college, you know, and was on my own and had to make my own decision to go to church, my own decision, you know, to go to Bible study, to read and to pray and not, you know, piggyback off of a relative's, you know, choice. That's really, you know, I kind of hit rock bottom in my life spiritually, you know, when I was a junior I was supposed to be, you know, the spiritual leader on the team, and I was supposed to be the guy who followed Tebow and, you know, was just, you know, to be able to follow his tracks and just keep things going at University of Florida. And so I walk in my junior year, walk into my girlfriend's apartment, who's now my wife, and she's bawling, crying. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, you know, what's happening? I've been faithful, you know, these last, you know, a couple months. You know, I haven't been in the past, but I have been recently. And she's crying, and she hands me a pregnancy test, and she says, I'm pregnant. And I'm like, yo. And so that shook me to the core, you know, because now I had a choice whether to be with her or leave like my dad did. Or I had a choice to keep the child or, you know, get rid of the child, you know, like so many other people around me have done.
Sure.
And so it was really like really bottom. You know, I had to read kind of what you're saying, relearn who God is, and what you're saying really resonates with me as well. Like, God met my wife and I where we were, you know. Mm. At that time, we were, you know, broken, but he met us exactly where we were. We didn't have to, we recommitted our lives to him, and, you know, we're really trying to, you know, follow. We knew we screwed up, and we knew, you know, we didn't do it the right way, but we were you know, sorry and asked for forgiveness, and he really, you know, met us where we were, and, you know, now we're here 5 years later, you know, married and have three kids, and, you know, just kind of have a definitely a different lens that we see, you know, God through, and so it's just been special for us.
Yeah.
Andy, I'll ask you this as we start to wrap up. Influence, platform, being a believer, being known, the sort of fame that comes with it, which is a weird thing. And you kind of joked at the concert you had earlier tonight about, like, being famous, but
regular
still being
famous.
Right. Yeah, regular famous. Just the idea of fame and being open about your faith and just the tug of the world and what that looks like, being this sort of, you know, person that people know. You know what I mean? Dealing with that. And as that came about, how has that been for you? Maybe even since this dark time for you, but even before that.
It's a strange tension to have some sort of fame and platform, and then to also be, you know, openly open about what you believe.
Yeah.
Because there's never a fair fight, you know. It's like there's always, when somebody said this, like, the higher up you go, like, the easier of a target you are. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, you
know, the bigger the target is.
Yeah, the bigger the target. Well, it's like you make yourself, when you put yourself out there, so I put myself out there to make music, you also make yourself available to be shot at, right?
For sure.
So that's, like, part of what comes with the influence is also the praise and the criticism.
Yeah.
And so I just realized this, like, you're never holy enough for certain people, and then you're way too holy and weird for others.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's a strange tension.
Can't please everyone.
So yeah, and you know, and what's also weird is when you become known for something, forget trying to change. Mm-hmm. It's like that people don't want you to change or to evolve or to grow. They want you to be exactly what they want you to be, and they'll be very vocal about it from their Twitter, you know.
Their keyboard.
Yeah, their keyboard thug. And
yeah.
It's just like we don't make space for celebrities and people to change. Because we always want them to be that one thing for us. And it's like, that's not who people are.
Yeah.
People grow and they evolve and they have different views. And like, now I probably look back at interviews I did 5 years ago and I'm like, oh my gosh, how embarrassing. And I'll probably look back on this interview and be like, how embarrassing and silly in a few years. It's just like, but it lives on the internet forever.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, I just, you try to be faithful with what you got, what you have it, and I always try to put this in my interviews and stuff, like, this is what I feel today.
Right, yeah.
It might change tomorrow.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you do the best you can, but.
Well, let me ask you this real quick. Minor league, tell me about that. I told your guys I was going to ask you about that kind of conversation, went, you know, in a bunch of different directions, but I know that you're working with this sort of, is it a label kind of thing going on with minor league? Can you tell us about developing that, what that is?
Yeah, Minor League is a brand that I started, and me, Delgis, Mustafa, and Wordsplay, we started this thing, and shout out Zeke Elliott too. We've all just been contributing our resources and our time to create this space for people who want to find treasure. And like, I don't feel like there's a space for real, or it's happening now, where people can be authentically Christian and authentically be artists and not have to feel the pressure to succumb to either of those things in a way that dilutes either of the other. So that's kind of a weird way of saying, like, you don't have to be this one model idea of a Christian, you know what I'm saying,
in order to create art. Because I've heard stories like, I think it was Katy Perry, who was a gospel singer, and they said her boobs were too big, and that she couldn't be the face of any.
Sure.
There's
just weird.
And then she rebelled from that,
obviously. Yeah.
It's just, of course, you know, because that's such like a absurd thing.
One thing that's cool about you, though. You know what I mean? Because the time I've been following you, like, you haven't changed. You know, you've still been the same dude. You're still clapping back at people on social media. And, you know what I'm saying? Like, voicing your opinion on, you know, certain things. And it's pretty cool to see.
Yeah, I mean, that's some of the weirdness is, like, someone told me, was talking to me today, and they were like, hey, man, love your music. I love that I can play it for my kids. Yeah. And I was like, you can't play all my music for your kids, you know?
Yeah.
But so a lot of times people associate something being Christian, being synonymous with appropriate for all ages.
Yeah.
And that's not even true.
No.
Not even close.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's just like, whenever you say you're a Christian publicly, it usually comes with a lot of baggage that has nothing to do with you, and that's the really tough part.
Yeah.
So that's what minor league is there to do, is just to be like, yeah, we might not look like everything that you expected Christians to look like, but that's okay. It's a collective of miners, and cool. You know, miners as in coal mining, where you're digging for treasure.
Yeah.
You know, going in dangerous places to pull out goods for people. And so we started that collective, and we got some new music coming out of there, and it's good. Tight.
When is or where can people find more info? Just at your website?
Yeah, go to whatever you're on, Instagram, Twitter,
yeah,
you know, Facebook. You can look up Andy Mineo.
Find it all there.
Yeah, and then Minor cool. League is MINER.
MINER.
Yeah, okay. Miners, like miners, coal miners, diggers. Yes,
okay. That's yeah. Awesome. All right, let's finish it up with Trey.
Yeah.
So you won a Super Bowl. Now you're a free agent. We're going to run this before we know what team that you end up on.
Cool.
So you got a couple weeks here to figure out your future. What's kind of going through your mind, and maybe what's the Lord been challenging you on in just this season of, okay, I just won the Super Bowl, and I'm just trying to enjoy that.
Yeah.
But I got a future to figure out here with the business side of the NFL.
Yeah. Raise, make it rain. Hey.
Doing the money sign. You're funny, bro. No, you know, it's actually really cool, bro. It's something I've never really got to experience in mm-hmm. the sense of, like, being wanted and being able to choose where I go. I was recruited really early. I committed to Florida my sophomore year, but it was really it was a deal. Urban's famous for this, calling you and saying, like, hey, you have a scholarship. You have 24 hours to commit. If you don't commit, you don't have a scholarship anymore. And so it was really one of those deals, you know, and that's the biggest school in the state of Florida, and, you know, a place that I, you know, dreamed of playing. So
yeah.
Committed right away. And then going into the NFL, I was undrafted, and so nobody wanted me then. And Philly was really one of the only options that I had.
Yeah.
Back then, they didn't want me.
No, I'm high. They all home. No. Yeah, so Philly, I chose to go to Philly just by default, you know, for the most part. And so now winning the Super Bowl, it's always a great deal to be a free agent after that. And so I'm just sitting back and, you know, relaxing, hanging with my family. You know, mm-hmm. I haven't been home too much since the Super Bowl, and just want to try to figure out. There's a lot of things, you know, that go into a decision on where you play, you know, quarterback and scheme yeah. and those types of things. But my heart, you know, especially since being at this conference, has really changed in my perspective of where I want to go. And I just feel, you know, God's just calling me to go to a spot, not just because of football. You know, obviously football is number one. You know, that's my job. That's what I do. But I want to go to a city that needs change, you know, that needs somebody to go in there and, you know, just do what God is calling them to do. And there's a couple options of places to go, and I really want to be pulled that way, and not, you know, just strictly on football. And so I want to make an impact, you know, off the field. You know, that's how you become a legend, you know, where you football ends eventually, and, you know, people will forget about you, but, you know, the things you do off the field is really what's key. And so we were able to partner with a bunch of organizations in Philly, and we made a pretty decent, you know, impact there. And
yes.
Just a group of guys that we have, we're just able to do so much, you know. And
that's
so
tight.
I kind of want to go knowing the blueprint of what we've been able to do in Philly, and, you know, kind of like the pioneering of faith in the sense of like a collective group of guys. I kind of want to go somewhere else, you know, and start it.
Yeah.
I would love to be back in Philly. You know, that's comfortable, you know, but
of course.
We're called to be uncomfortable, you know, like your last
album.
Hey,
that
album,
sounds like
so.
An album title or
it,
something.
It was uncomfortable.
I know.
Yeah. So I'm cool. I like being uncomfortable. That's kind of, you know, when
yeah.
I seek God the most. And so I'm up for whatever. My wife and I are, you know, on the same page, and
yeah.
We just want to, you know, do something special.
That's cool. One thing I can promise you, no matter where you end up, you will always be a legend
yeah.
in Philadelphia.
100%.
For the Philly special.
Hey.
Ain't that the truth, right?
Is that Philly's
first ever?
First ever Super Bowl.
Oh, my gosh.
Right.
Oh,
so no matter what you do.
No matter what.
Where you go.
You're going to be 60 years old on the ESPN
yeah.
30 for 30. You're like,
The Philly special.
Trying to draw it on the chalkboard.
By that point, anytime the words PH start coming up, you're going to be like, oh,
I don't want to hear it.
No.
But you always got that ring. Listen, this has been awesome.
Where's the ring? That's what I want to know.
They don't get the ring yet.
The end of this month, they have it all designed, but we won't get it till probably June or something. Yeah.
Okay, are you wearing the ring?
I will be, yeah.
No, sure. Like, are you going to wear it all day, every day.
Not all day, but for like special occasions, like podcast with you. Yeah, for sure. When I'm around,
let's revisit this.
You, yeah, let's do this.
Once it gets the ring.
Yes. If I had a, and they're obnoxious too.
Oh, they are. Huge. The Patriots last year was insane. It's like the size of this thing I'm holding right now.
It's a Tic Tac box on your finger of diamonds. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
That's exactly what it is.
Dude, so I would have to wear it to the grocery store. Like every opportunity. Like, oh, sorry. Yeah, Philly special. Right here.
So you would get it on your pinky.
I'd get it on my pinky, and I would let it sag.
We were trying
off to the side because it's so big; it's gotta hang.
We were trying to get like the brass knuckle. You know what I mean? Like get two knuckle, like your pinky and your ring finger, and then maybe even your like, middle finger. You know what I'm saying? So you got it like a brass knuckle.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be fat.
That's a lot.
Now you gotta get the design of Philly special in that ring though somehow.
Yeah, I know somehow.
That would be cool.
Maybe on I couldn't do it on the inside because no one would see it. So yeah.
All right, one more question.
Go ahead, Andy.
I mean. Why are you guys kissing that thing, man?
I didn't kiss it.
That's disgusting. Is it not disgusting?
Oh, yeah. Everybody's bringing the Super Bowl
trophy. Some guy puts it under his armpit for a second, and it's like, yeah, you lick it now, too. What is going on over here? And how about your man Kevin Hart?
Yeah. Couldn't even get on stage.
He wouldn't even let him up.
That was probably – he stole the show. I'm sorry. He stole that moment.
Yeah.
What, you know, the cameras are panning. Like, man, let me on stage, man. Oh, man.
The best part –
I don't know who you are. I can't let you up
the
here.
The best part is Zach Ertz is standing right next to him. All this is going on. Zach could have easily been like, nah, let him come through. But Zach's like
– He wasn't going to have anything to do with it.
You know, Ertz is getting some heat, man.
For what? For what?
I'm sitting next to a Dallas fan when we're watching the game. Yeah. And you know what's going on in his mouth. Yeah. Oh, same play, Dez Bryant. And I was like, bruh.
Different play.
Your man – It's a completely different play. He extended it away from his body.
He made the football move, right?
Three steps and then extended it.
Yeah. Come on, man. Don't give me that garbage.
I got to change that.
Listen, this is awesome, guys. Thank you so much for being here on the podcast. Appreciate it. Andy Mineo and Trey Burton.
Yeah. Philly special.
Look at the
wrist.
And we do appreciate Andy Mineo, rapper extraordinaire, and Trey Burton. Philly special Super Bowl champion and free agent tight end for joining us here on the Sports Spectrum podcast. We taped this a couple weeks ago at a conference in Tucson, Arizona, and I'm looking forward to seeing where Trey ends up. Trey has a decision to make. This is the week that free agency in the NFL begins, March 14th, and today is March 12th that we release this podcast. So in a couple days, Trey Burton may have a new NFL team. And of course, we'll be able to update you on that on sportspectrum.com. But it was really great to hear Andy's kind of vulnerability and transparency and the struggles that he's going through and has gone through in the past. I really liked Trey's discussion as well about temptation and just what it's like to be famous and to be an influencer and to be in the spotlight and be an NFL player who travels a lot and be a rapper who's traveling every single night when he's on tour. And I just thought this was a great podcast. So we appreciate Andy for joining us. You can find out more about Andy Mineo at andymineo.com. And his new album, Magic and Bird, came out last August. Still pretty new, still awesome. And of course, his famous song, You Can't Stop Me, won the number one walk-up song on ESPN.com a couple years ago. So You Can't Stop Me, Magic and Bird, andymineo.com. Check all of that out. And of course, Trey Burton, you can follow Trey on Twitter at TreyBurton8. And it'll be interesting to see what number he takes when he goes to his new team or if he stays with the Philadelphia Eagles. He wore 88 his last year in Philly, so that'll be fun to watch too. We appreciate both of them for joining us here on the podcast. And we appreciate you for tuning in. And you can reach us on Twitter as well at sports_spectrum. You can email us here. You can email me directly, jason@sportsspectrum.com. Let us know what you think of the podcast. And of course, if you liked it, if you thought this podcast was something that you want others to hear, please share it. Share it on your Twitter. Share it on your Facebook. Share it on your Instagram. Take a screenshot. Take the link, whatever it is, and share it on all of your social media feeds. That would be wonderful. And you can leave a review as well. Leave a review on iTunes. Let people know that you heard the podcast and what you think of it. That helps get the word out and get more people checking out the stories on the intersection of sports and of faith. Thanks so much for joining us here, and we'll see you next time right here on the Sports Spectrum Podcast.